Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thank you very much for giving a listen to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We have made it to a quarter century, gentlemen. This is episode 25 and a massively, plenty of action to discuss, not least the culmination of the Six Nations Championship, which we will get to, as well as all loads of other guff, which you're going to hear from myself. I'm Tim from JB.
Hi, Tim.
I'm from Phil.
Hi, Tim.
I was going to ask Phil how you're playing, but you're injured. So how's your DIY going? Got your chairs in the house and done yet?
Chairs successfully delivered by a man in a van. Curtain rail put up by myself and my housemate. It only took 2 weeks for the two of us.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
It's good.
I'm pretty impressive. So everything's coming on nicely.
JB, did you play?
No, I didn't. I spent all weekend travelling. I had a terrible weekend. Actually, the bits when I saw people were nice, but I went to London. Actually, Tim, you're like this. I stayed in Notting Hill all weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. My word, another middle-class jaunt.
So that's two weekends in London.
Two weekends in London, yeah.
Why?
Future father-in-law's 70th.
Oh, right.
So, but 2 hours on a train down there. You can't go anywhere in London without having to get several modes of public transport first. It's absolutely horrendous. And then we get here just to really... The International Rugby Centre, for anyone who's been here, which is only us three, has got the least secure and least convenient security system in the world. You drive up to the barrier, there's a man stationed 100 yards away from the barrier who's playing on his iPad or something. He gets up, he walks across the car park, presses a button on the front of the gate opens and he walks back. It's neither secure nor convenient.
Try imagine that at 4:45 in the morning, which is when I come to work Monday to Friday, and the guy is normally got his feet up having a nap, so I have to go and wake him up first. Anyway, listen, there's loads of rugby to talk about, and obviously the big storyline is Ireland's victory in the Six Nations and Brian O'Driscoll's final game. But JB has insisted we mention the LV Cup final first.
Damn right.
Your boys did a job.
Yep. What did someone say on Twitter today? The Exeter Terrestrials, the fan club?
Trillions of Exeter Terrestrials will be delighted with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, Chris Jane on Twitter with that witty comment.
And his silly girl's name. People are very happy. There's a feel-good factor.
I didn't see the full game. I saw Manoa's try for Northampton and I saw the last half an hour.
I followed it on Twitter via the awful Virgin Trains Wi-Fi.
Intermittent, to say the least, isn't it?
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't rely on that. We've got some loads of things to look forward to. We have got a brilliant 15 this week, which was JB's idea, which is the Brush with the Law 15.
Or Jailbirds 15?
Jailbird 15.
I'm pretty confident most of mine have either been to jail or been threatened with jail.
Yeah, rugby players who've had some skirmishes with the law, let's put it like that. But plenty of rugby to talk about in the Six Nations. And I thought we should start with a word from Bod on his last game. So this was Bod straight after the final whistle, well, within a few minutes of the final whistle, talking to Talking Rugby, who've kindly supplied us with the audio. And this is Brian O'Driscoll.
I played on for one more year for... hopeful to get a victory against the All Blacks. It didn't happen. And to win a Six Nations, and that did happen. So, can't have it all, but take the bits that you get. And that's been a fantastic Six Nations for us. I've enjoyed every second, and whatever it is, 45 minutes, an hour after the game, and I don't really want to take this jersey off yet, because I know when I take it off, that'll be the last time. It'll be weird if I put it on at home and start walking around in it. So yeah, I'm kind of dragging the arse out of it a little bit.
Some of the post-match chat from Brian O'Driscoll there. Is there another country in the Six Nations that has a player in modern times held in the sort of esteem he's held in? I mean, I look at instantly, I sort of thought Martin Johnson, but I mean, he won a World Cup and then retired.
Yeah.
And people remember him for that. But there's a sort of warmth and love universally, isn't there, for Brian Aldridge?
They're few and far between. I mean, the only ones I can think of is probably Wales, Gavin Henson.
Shane Lewis.
and Scipione in England.
do you reckon Shane Williams is held in as high esteem?
Nah.
I think he's close, but not quite.
No, is the answer.
Yeah,
simply no.
I don't think there's anyone.
Maybe some of the Welsh stars from like the 60s and 70s, but you know, even then.
Yeah, it was different back then.
I don't think the Irish are slightly crazy as well, so they do hold on to things. It could only happen in Ireland, that this level of...
Because when you look at Johnny Wilkinson's career, he had so many injuries and so many gaps not playing. And he reached a World Cup final and won the World Cup, so an incredible career. And he was massively loved and was the biggest name in the sport for several years.
Idolised like... Driscoll could literally lead people over cliffs if he... If he asked.
If he had a load of Kool-Aid in a room and he told them there was a spaceship waiting for them, if you drink that Kool-Aid, they would. Absolutely would do.
Yeah, they would. They would. I think Richie McCaw and Dan Carter will be similar, especially Richie McCaw in New Zealand.
So Richie McCaw's now injured again after having been injured. Dan Carter, has he actually played yet this season? I know he's been injured this season.
Yeah.
So I think they're in danger of limping out rather than going out with a bang really has done. And Bod's still got the rest of the season to potentially win Rabo Direct and the Heineken Cup.
Imagine the Rabo.
But what a finish that could be.
Yeah. He can absolutely still do it. He's still one of the best in the world and he's gone. It's a real shame.
I think it's good. I think he's picked the right time. It's the right time for him.
Who will play next now? Who will be their 13 of the future?
Fergus McFadden.
You're very, very lucky if you can choose to go, and the moment you choose to go is when you've just recently broken the world record number of test appearances of any player in the history of the sport, and you lead your country to a very rare Six Nations victory.
Yeah, only the second time since he's been playing.
And a rare victory away in Paris is the win that gets it, which has had a controversial end. And I thought another thing, we should maybe just relive the last minute of that game, because the tension... I mean, I was watching it, not being an Irishman or a Frenchman. My heart was racing. I was thinking, wow, what's going on here? The right call was made, but this is the forward pass being... and the try being disallowed in the last minute. Oh. I've just realised this is just the video.
All right,
it's just... Pickamoles just scored. They're all celebrating. Okay, fine. Steve Walsh is coming over. TMO's having a word. We can't even hear that.
Okay, Steve, you see that?
Yeah. What are we saying here? It definitely drifts forward. Does it leave his hands forward? Or is it flat and then drift forward?
What are they talking about? Does it go forward or does it not go forward?
Well, no, hands backwards, which is a strange rule.
What weird people.
Gareth, you may have to assist me here with some HD vision.
What?
Forward pass, mate. I've got it.
Yeah, for me, that's...
Oh, well done, you heroes.
No.
Wow.
What a waste of time.
It's not a law written down. That's an interpretation about the looking for the hand motion backwards.
Is it not a recent addendum, a clarification on the law?
Does the ball go forward? Is it passed back? Does it go forward? I mean, that is it.
But this rule was brought in because if you're travelling fast, if you're at top speed and you pass, because of the momentum, because you're actually going forward, your hands can go backwards, but the ball can travel forwards. That, the player who passed it was stationary. He's not travelling at full speed. So the momentum rule, which I know is not written down, never applies. That ball went forward. It finished in front of where
but
he
it's
was
a little
stood.
Bit more difficult than that, because it's not just, oh, your hand's going backwards. Your hands can go backwards and you can still
release the ball forwards.
Well, the right decision was made anyway.
Yes.
But a tense finish. The one thing I loved was the pictures that got captured of the England team during that moment, because obviously they thought, wow, if we just won the Six Nations Championship, they were all dressed up in some swanky gear, just about to go out to a dinner party.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the England squad have got lovely suits.
Yeah, those suits look good. Yeah. They all look really sharp.
Who makes them? I know it's the French company with the pink bow tie, is what they call it.
Eden Park.
Yeah, they make them.
They look very smart.
They do.
Yeah.
Although I would say Chris Robshaw's wearing brown socks with black shoes.
That's idiot.
It's not a good look.
Black tie, no.
No. But Mike Brown's got his arms out. Owen Farrell's jumped up out of his chair. They think they've just won the Six Nations. No.
Have you seen Matt Mullen on the far right-hand side of the picture looking exactly like a doorman with his arms in front of him and his tux?
Again, Ireland won without playing especially well, to be fair. A really forward-dominated, muscle-bound game, really.
It was nervy from both teams, wasn't it? Because there was so much on the line.
Yeah, and I thought the pairing that played well were the French centres. I thought they had a very strong game. Gael Ficou looks class. Mm. I really like that guy.
Bastro made like his break early on.
Or as Eddie Butler calls him, Bastaro. He really loves his French pronunciation, doesn't he, Eddie Butler?
But if that boy could pass... Like, he's been poor all tournament, but he made a few really good breaks, made a lot of yards, and there was two chances that he butchered by very, very poor passes. Yeah.
He makes 5 yards in any situation.
If they'd have stuck him to tight head for France, they'd have shored up their scrum. Definitely. But well done, Ireland. St. Patrick's Day weekend, Brian O'Driscoll's last game.
Yeah.
It was always going to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah, the French actually showed up, which was nice. They haven't showed up all tournament.
Yeah, they really did. But... you've got to look on the balance of the whole tournament, and Ireland scored the most points for, conceded the fewest points, scored the most tries. They really did deserve it. They deserve the title.
What have we learnt about the countries by the end of the Six Nations? Like, I'll tell you what, here's a good way to look at it. JB, you've invested in Bitcoin. Bet you're regretting that a little
No,
bit.
No, I'm going to buy more, Tim. So there.
You've invested in Bitcoin, and you were a financial advisor. Let's do this as if it were... each country had a stock price.
Nice.
Before the Six Nations...
Wow, Tim, this is a lot of thought.
Before the Six Nations, you'd invested some of your hard-earned savings into the countries. Who would you be better off with and who would you be worse off with and by how much?
Okay, let's go with Scotland. So Scotland are a non-diversified stock, which are falling badly, and I recommend selling immediately. Massive liquidity risk, and also your capital's in incredible danger. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Brilliant. I think England surely is the...
England, the big risers here.
Yeah,
England have got the most out of the tournament, I think. And you look at the Welsh squad and the Irish squad, they've got players who are 33, 34, who are either retiring or are declining assets or depreciating assets.
Good terminology, nice. Like it.
Whereas the England team, there was no one that started that game who's over 30.
Wow.
I think the average age was like 25, something like that.
And so with Stuart Lancaster's top-down management style, they seem... like they've got a strong 15, but behind that strong 15, they've got promising players to bring in. I think that's a big difference.
They've got depth in virtually every position. The only position where I think they've been short in this tournament has been the wings, which when players come back to fitness, I think they'll have good options.
Which is really impressive because we said before the tournament, we're a bit concerned about England in the centre, but lack of depth. And then that's...
wow.
It's been a real area of strength.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised with 12 trees. Probably any Gloucester supporter can tell you that he's quite a good player, but I didn't really appreciate it. And as for Burrell, wow.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it?
Me and my housemate were having this debate during the England game. Where will Tuilagi fit in, or will he fit in the summer tour to New Zealand? Lancaster is picking his like first choice team. Where will Tuilagi go in? Or will he?
Obviously, we've got to see who's in the Premiership final first.
Yeah. Oh, well, true.
They won't be involved in the first test.
Ignore the first test. Right. Second test, where he's got to pick his first... everyone's available to him, assuming no further injuries.
Well, Burrell's very powerful. I think he's got much better hands. Actually, you wouldn't... has he?
We're judging Tuilagi on one game back as well.
Let's judge him on everything. And what kind of player is he? He's a guy with immense physical strength.
I think... Tuilagi has actually got really good hands. Burrell is very good at sucking players in and offloading, but I don't think his distribution's very good. So I don't think you could move Burrell to 12 because you need someone with good distribution, good kicking to take pressure off Farrell, because Farrell's looked really good having 12 trees alongside him.
I completely agree with that.
Burrell...
12 trees is basically Farrell's comfort blanket now.
Yeah, and Mike Brown as well has done it really well. He's coming as first receiver, particularly in defence. He's got a big left boot, and his distribution as well is good. So having those two does take pressure off off Farrell. So for me, it's a straight shootout between Burrell and Tuilagi at 13, unless you're willing to consider Tuilagi for one of the wing positions.
It seems a waste.
Yeah.
It seems wasted.
It does a bit. And it seems a bit of a risk as well.
And also, just looking towards the future, I mean, I really like Kyle Eastmond to come in at 12. I mean, he's not been used yet. Whether Stuart Lancaster deems him as a suitable personality or whatnot, I don't know.
I think he'll tour to New Zealand.
And then the next one, Samming Slam.
Slamming Sam.
Burgess. Oh, yeah.
Nah, he'll be playing in the second row.
Samming Slam.
He will not be in the second row, Bill. It's a ludicrous thing.
In terms of going back to the stock prices thing, I would have said before the Six Nations, and you'll have to remind us of what our predictions were, Phil, in a second, but I would have thought investing in Wales would have been like investing in a sort of guaranteed return, but low return sort of government bond.
Low risk, low return.
Or something. Because that's what you would have thought. Like, oh, they'll be solid again. But
like a bond fund.
But they were very much kind of up and down. They creaked and then they had a really strong performance. Yeah. And then
they were very volatile.
Yeah.
Very volatile. So not a solid bond fund.
They were the Bitcoin of the Six Nations team.
Exactly what they were.
I think this is all to do with their game plan. I think their plan A against the weaker teams is excellent. Like, they absolutely demolished Scotland.
And France. They've got two record victories, the Six Nations. So,
but their performances against both England and Ireland were very poor as well.
I would say if they're going to be a stock, it would be like the Co-op. We don't really know what they are. It's all a bit mysterious.
Before we go any further, Phil, what did the three of us predict before the Six Nations was going to happen?
So, oh, this is great.
So we all made our predictions. Out of 18 positions, because we all picked six teams to finish in 1-6, we got two cumulative teams in the right position, and that was Tim. You said that Scotland would be fifth and Italy would be sixth. Every other team we got wrong. So Jay said Wales would win. They finished third. Tim, me and you said France would win.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, interestingly, all three of us said Ireland would be the next best team. And then Jay said France in third and England in fourth, whereas Tim, me and you said England in third and Wales in fourth.
So actually, if me and you, Phil, could just take France off the top and slot it in at number four,
yeah,
then we'd have got it and then bang it would, on.
Yeah, pretty much.
So out of 18 guesses, we've got two right and they're both Tim's.
Well, let me tell you, that shows you exactly the sort of expertise you're rolling with by listening to this podcast. That's what you get, I'm afraid.
We grossly overestimated France.
And our rugby knowledge.
Yes.
Well, our predictions were absolutely terrible. Fortunately, yours were a great deal better because we invited you to come and join our private league on the ESPN Six Nations Fantasy Tournament. Out of the three of us...
I know exactly where we all are.
Go on.
Jay finished 98th.
Wow. Out of how many?
133. 133. I finished 97th. And Tim finished 65th.
Well done, Tim.
Which is not really
it's not
impressive.
Very good. That's like mid-table. But I did that. The reason I did that is I scored loads of points the last round of matches because I forgot to change my team.
So the less I tinker,
the better I do.
Yeah, I forgot to change my team at the end.
But we should say at this point, many congratulations to Ben Davey, the manager, coach of the winning team in our Egg Chasers podcast league. His team name, Bournemouth Irish.
And happy St. Patrick's Day as well.
Ben Davey, well done. You've got that BT Sport signed ball or the Newport Gwent Dragons signed jersey to choose from. What about the League of Leagues? Because last week we said...
We were top last
Uh-oh.
Week.
Come on.
Of all the private leagues...
Worldwide.
There's like a... Which is worldwide. So it's which league collectively, when you put everyone in, is the best league in the world.
Well, I can confirm that we held our position as the best private league in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
By no less than 25 points ahead of the next best team, which was Rugby Banter.
Not so funny now, are you, Rugby Banter page?
So thank you very much to everyone. Thank you if you got involved in our Six Nations League. We are collectively, even if you didn't win, we are collectively part of the most informed, educated, knowledgeable rugby leagues in the world. So well done. Oh, I didn't mean to hit that.
What was that?
Oh, that was actually called, it's sort of appropriate. I accidentally hit a button called Cheesy Winner Bed.
Oh, oh nice.
Let's do that. Oh, hold on a minute. I can't find it anymore. Well, let me play this then, because we won. We won! We're the best league in the world! I can't speak! I can't speak! Typical Warriors! Brilliant, well done.
When I hear that music, it makes me want to go and like assemble toys like an elf.
Actually, while we're talking about the fact that the people that were getting involved in the Fantasy League, let's also mention some of the tweets and stuff we've got over the last week.
Oh, yeah.
We've got loads to @ Rugby Podcast on Twitter. The Bodfax did quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Before we leave the Six Nations, let's just... we talked Bodfax. So we said on the last podcast, come up with a Bodfax and say something about Brian O'Driscoll. Here's a few of my favourites that I thought I'd share. This one from Joe Dawson. When Brian O'Driscoll was born, he drove his mother home from the hospital. Bod fact. Todd Prisk says, Brian O'Driscoll likes his meat so rare, he only eats unicorns. Bod fact. James Boker, or Bowker. Brian O'Driscoll is Danger's middle name.
Yeah, good.
Which is very good. Steve Greeny says, Brian O'Driscoll went for a Sunday bike ride in Paris and ended up winning the Tour de France. Bod fact. Jesus can walk on water. Brian O'Driscoll can swim through land. Says Michael Griffiths. I enjoyed those. They were very good. Also, we've got Fatty Matty here who says, please give a shout out to the Exeter Chiefs for the weekend. Sandy Park will be rocking. Yeah, they congratulations again on your victory in the LV Cup final. And Greg Neal says, lads, have you got any suggestions for kangaroo court punishments? So Greg has got one coming up. And there'll be a lot of people who have kangaroo courts from time to time. Does Sedgley Park, they must have a kangaroo court every now and again.
Yeah,
do,
yeah.
Do they confiscate your protein for 1 week or something?
What's your, do you ever have a role in the kangaroo court, or are you very much just part of the mass?
Yeah, normally part of the mass. Normally hiding, trying not to make eye contact with any of the judges.
Whereas JB, you're quite often like the social secretary or whatever.
I run the court. Yeah, we had a few things. A lot of them are actually borrowed from Phil's old university, Lancaster.
Mm.
But my favourite one is the hard work desk.
Oh, the hard work desk. Wonderful.
You get a desk, you sit someone at the desk with, originally it was a desk which would open, and inside would be a delicious liquid treats.
It was a kid's old school desk, so it was like...
I know the thing, the old wooden...
Yeah.
Like 2 foot off the ground, tiny little thing with the opening lid. And there would be some horrible punishment in there that if someone had been hard work that week, not come out on a booze or refusing to do something, they would get given the hard work desk for that week. But obviously, it's a lot of curiosity for everyone else to try and find out what's in the hard work desk. But do not ever, whatever you do, get caught peeking in the hard work desk.
Do not do that.
If it's not your turn to look in there, oh dear.
I've set up my hard work desk on... in the middle of the pitch. So we have our court session inside. So the person outside has to do their hard work. They're not allowed to speak, they're not allowed to talk to people, engage in any communication whatsoever.
And they're not allowed to rejoin until it's all gone.
Until it's all gone.
And what sort of drink punishments are we talking?
Oh, I think as a solid base for a drink punishment is special brew. And then you add from there.
It normally used to be like, kind of a standard would be 3 doubles, and then it would be...
It's a bit of special brew, just to lighten the load.
Anything upward of that.
See, that sounds civilised. One thing I, you know, having done a few in my time, I've sometimes got people running them who did the old, like, in a shoe and then anything, and then just fag butts and all sorts of shit.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
I'm really not into that.
I don't mind drinking my beer from a shoe.
Yeah, that's fine.
And through the sock, yeah, done that, easy. But I don't like foreign objects in there.
No.
That's not for me.
So Greg, yeah... Keep it normal liquid and yeah.
Another one. Yeah. I've got loads actually. I won't go through them all. You want some cling film or something like that, or some gaffer tape and 2 sticks, and you want to make someone straight arm drink.
You make like a splint for their arm.
And they just have to drink and they have to pour on themselves. It's great.
Just in case you can't work it out, you use cling film and a stick to make their like a splint so their arms cannot bend.
You're correct.
And then they have to drink, which involves lifting it up basically above your head and pouring it onto your own face.
There's roulettes where you have to just pick the drinks. So you come up, you say, yeah, 3 or 4 drinks is your fine. So you have to neck 3 or 4 drinks, half a water, half a vodka. So sometimes you get...
Oh, wow, that's great.
We used to have a game called Royal Rumble. This is not for kangaroo court, but it's So everyone, you have a limit at the bar, like £5 or £10, something like that, and you have to buy what you think is a terrible, terrible drink. Or you can buy what looks like a terrible drink, but it's actually really easy. And then everyone puts them in the middle, and you pull names out of a hat. The first person gets first choice of drink.
Brilliant.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's a really, really good game. So when you're down to like the last five or six, and there's five or six that look horrendous in there,
yeah,
you, what you want is one like yours to look terrible, but it's actually really easy.
Who invented that?
It's a brilliant game.
I tell you what, it's a great
game. The word hero is too frequently used, but in that case...
Have you never played Royal Rumble?
No.
Fantastic.
We had one similar called Chorlton Breakout, or Wetherspoons Breakout, where you all put in 20 quid to a kit and you're not allowed to leave Wetherspoons.
Oh, until it's gone.
It sounds quite easy, but Christ,
it goes a long way in Wetherspoons.
Yeah, it does. And you've got time limits. There's all sorts of stuff. In fact, actually, why don't we open that up to Twitter?
Yes.
One of the last Kangaroo Courts I did at Sedgley, we... had a PowerPoint presentation. It's done upstairs in like one of the function rooms, 30-odd lads with a PowerPoint presentation for every single player on why they should be fined.
Oh, our coach did a Stuart Lancaster-esque presentation prior to the season. And me and your housemate, Steve, got hold of it. And we just changed all of his very, very serious words to things like, you know, why I like men so much. just different headings.
We had oh God, this is a few seasons ago with an old coach. He was a good coach. He had tigers written down the board, and for each one he had like, so T was for teamwork.
the nickname of Sedgley is Tigers,
yeah,
by the way.
Just Tigers. And for I, he had intelligence. Spelt wrong. There's nothing more ironic than spelling intelligence wrong.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think that's a good shout, actually, JB. Any more Kangaroo Court suggestions, punishments, or night out, team night out ideas that you've done at your club or you've heard of, and then we can share them with not only Greg Neal, who's obviously organising one for his club, but also for, well, other rugby fans around the world. So at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and we'll get that one going this week. Right. Six Nations done, dealt with. LV Cup, well done, Exeter Chiefs again. Bosch dealt with. We do have a 15. I'm really, really excited about this 15.
Are you not nervous, Tim?
I'm so looking forward to your disclaimer.
Yes, actually.
This is the man that did a disclaimer before the food and drink 15. So how are you going to deal with the prison 15 is beyond me.
Yeah, we'll have to be careful with this one. So Jailbird 15.
What is this?
Wow. The Bill.
Yeah, now I know it.
So it's a Jailbird 15 or Brushes with the Law 15. Now, lads, right? I'm an experienced broadcaster, so I know there is a code and there are legal... Well, defamation is a real thing which you can really get sued for.
All right, well, yeah. These people maybe did what we're accusing them of. We don't know.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, I do know.
We're going to pick a 15 for people that have had a brush with the law. The inspiration for this is incredible, and I'm going to let Phil, you take centre stage because you found this story. This is amazing.
Yeah, it just appeared last night.
What was it?
So, after the England-Italy game, an English man was in Rome, was taken to the England hotel because he was drunk and disorderly, and the Italian police had got hold of him, and he told them that he was a key person in the England rugby squad.
He told them he was in the 15.
Yeah, a key player in the England rugby team. They took him to the England rugby's team hotel. And
yeah, so basically they were going to arrest him. He refused to get in the car. And yeah, like you said, he said, I'm in the England team. And they said, oh God, we better take him to the hotel.
Take him to the hotel, they'll deal with him. And it turns out he wasn't. He was just some drunken England fan.
The England team official said, what's his let me have a look at him. I've never, ever seen that man before in my life. But fair play, he must be a bit of a slice if he could convince Italian police he was in the England rugby team.
I've convinced someone that has a Welsh international once on a night out.
There's a picture of him there, he is.
What? You can't just let that comment throw it. You convinced someone you were a Wales international?
Yeah, I was hammered. I thought it was some good chat.
he's quite a big lad.
Who does he play for? Joshua Goldsworthy. Good lad. Oh, he seems like a top boy.
Very drunken state and very abusive towards the officers.
So that's obviously not to be condoned.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Everything these people do is not to be condoned. And if we laugh heartily at their exploits, it's not because we appreciate them or we think they're heroic, just because we think they're a bit funny.
Yes, that's exactly. It. So that was the inspiration. So I'm going to go for a different bit of music now. This is the theme from Starsky and Hutch back in the 80s. Mm. Right.
Is this the opening music to my new reality TV show called Burrell and Tompkins?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Burrell and Tompkins. So we're going to pick players, a 15 of players, who have had some skirmishes with the law, have had a brush with the law, potentially have been convicted of something, and we're going to come up with a team.
For legal reasons, can we have a convicted stamp? So if we know, like a sound stamp, so if we know they actually went to jail, like...
Well, we can put up the sound effect. Convicted. All right?
Like that. Free. Convicted.
Yeah. All right. Never went to court. Yeah. All right, come on then. So we'll start in the front row. I bet there's a few in the front row.
I tell you what. What is it with back rows and crime?
Front row.
No, but I'm just saying, in general...
Oh, right, back row.
Back row and crime, just love it. And try and search for a rugby league player who doesn't have a criminal record.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have a lot... Yeah. It's a long, long search. Okay, so I am going to go in the front row with a guy called Bees Roo.
Bees Roo.
Bees Roo.
Sounds South African.
Yeah, correct, it is. Bees Roo, I think, is a Blue Bulls player. He... It's not funny.
I'm getting nervous already.
The story goes something like this. Bees Roo was driving home and a policeman stopped him and tried to rob him. Three corrupt policemen. So he killed a policeman. He then had to disappear off and play in...
Play
in France for 2 years.
I just found his...
And now he's back. The man's a monster. Why are you trying to rob him? I do not know.
He can kill a man and then go and play in France. Was he convicted?
He was given a 5-year prison sentence.
Convicted!
Suspended on the condition that he paid 700,000 rand to the widow of the police officer.
That's like...
Which sounds like a... Not that
much.
Sounds like corruption in itself.
Kevin Yates would be another potential prop. Like with the ear biter. I mean, I don't think...
He wasn't convicted,
no,
was he?
Not convicted. but he did admit to doing it.
And I seemed a lot... At the time, that seemed like there's a lot made of that as to actually what it was.
I mean, it's not killing a police officer. Fair enough. And Kevin Yates.
I mean, look, I mean, there's levels within levels here.
Matt Stevens could be another one. Not convicted. Just out of court.
Naughty.
Just very naughty. A naughty RFU ban.
Craig Mitchell. This one makes me laugh, okay? He's not part of the Lions. He's kind of like... It's kind of like you're having a birthday party and someone invites some idiots who you don't really know, but you kind of know him and he comes in and causes a disturbance.
Well, he'd been playing in Japan, hadn't he?
Had he?
With the Welsh squad over the same period. So it was just a short 8-hour flight from Japan to...
Hang around with the cool kids.
Yeah, to go and watch the Lions. So he was there as a fan.
A suspended six-month sentence for a pub brawl.
Caution!
Wow.
Who do you want your front row to be, Jay? Is there more?
Well, I've put in Dorian West because I'm struggling for hooker. So
I've got a hooker.
Oh, go on.
He's been mentioned on the podcast before for this as well. Andrew Hoare. He was convicted.
Go on.
Convicted!
For shooting and killing protected fur seals in New Zealand.
Oh, my God.
Of course. Seal clubbing.
Yeah. Yeah, he made our rock star 15 because he likes clubbing.
Not funny. It's not funny. I went for Dorian West because he's a copper.
Mitchell, Hoare, and Bees Roo.
Bees Roo, yeah.
Bees Roo, definitely.
Got a seal clubber, a convicted murderer,
cop killer,
and
just assault.
For
Mitchell.
Craig Mitchell seems to be keeping some rum company there. Okay, so...
Mm-hmm. Second row.
Second row.
I found this guy called Phil Jones. Have you found Phil Jones?
I'm aware of Phil Jones. I was worried. I used to play with a guy called Phil Jones. When it came up, I was worried it was the same one, but thankfully
Tell me about
it wasn't.
I've never heard of Phil Jones.
Phil Jones, 58 years old, used to play for Hereford.
And Luctonians.
Oh, yeah, of course. Nipped on a plane to Spain, hid in someone's flat, and then beat them to death, and then nipped back.
It was
God!
Convicted 17 years in prison.
Wow.
There's a guy that's currently playing at Nottingham.
Oh, and Nealis Keogh,
yeah, who is 26 years of age and was spared a jail sentence that would have ended his sporting career. He punched a 56-year-old victim, then threw a chair at him when he was unconscious.
Do you know what?
Following a loss at cards.
Wow.
There is actually a bit of this, a little bit funny. He threw a chair at a guy called Mr. Frisbee, which is kind of ironic.
Ironic.
What happened to Mr. Frisbee?
Oh, that's brilliant.
I've got another rugby union player. Someone who I think I played against. Coventry second row in mid-2000s, who was convicted.
Convicted.
For 15 years. For lots and lots of offences, including supplying Class A drugs, theft, burglary, things like that. He ran an organised drug gang while playing...
how organised was it?
Was it good enough to earn hundreds of thousands of pounds
from
it?
Wow.
Not good enough to stop him from getting caught and 15 years in prison. The only other one I got was Wade Dooley, who was a policeman.
Same reasons as Dorian West.
But no. I did hear a good story about Wade Dooley the other day, told by Will Carlin. He said when they were preparing to play Australia in, I can't remember what year, sometime in the early 90s, all the players did detailed analysis of their opposite man. And in the team meeting, they had to do a little presentation on
Before the World Cup final in 91, maybe.
May well have been, yeah. They had to do a detailed presentation on what they'd found out about their opposite man. And Wade Dooley's opposite man was John Eales. And Wade Dooley announced that John Eales is an art student. Well, what else, Wade? What else is there? Well, that's it. That's all I need to know.
That's pretty good.
That's great. I reckon for throwing a chair,
frisbeeing a chair,
Miss Frisbeeing a chair at Mr. Frisbee, Nealis Keogh, along with the
Either
Phil Jones,
yeah.
Second rows.
Although running a drug ring, because Nealis Keogh didn't go to jail, he was spared jail because it would have ended his sporting career.
Yeah. The other two have had 17 and 15 years in prison.
Let's put them in. Let's put
respectively
them in. With an honourable mention for Nealis, who's still playing for Nottingham Rugby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a dishonourable mention, whichever way you want to look at it.
Back rows. There are some pretty horrific things going on here.
Oh my God, aren't there?
Now, what's more scary than Jerry Collins? Jerry Collins carrying a knife in a Japanese department store being chased by Brazilian gangsters. That's what's more scary than Jerry Collins.
It's such a ludicrous story.
I don't know. We need to check our legalities on this story.
No, that's all checked out.
Did he get any convictions or anything?
Yeah.
He was definitely held by police. I don't think he was actually convicted of anything.
Accused.
It's like, isn't it, someone has just got a bag of words and pulled them out in a random order.
Jerry Collins is running away from Brazilian gangsters in a Japanese department store
with a knife.
Yeah, you wouldn't win that if that was your guessing Cluedo. That wouldn't normally win, would it? Jerry Collins in the Japanese department store with a samurai knife.
Do you know what, there is an element that we could make an Egg Chasers board game here, something like Cluedo.
Yeah, I like that. There's so many back rows.
Andy Powell obviously springs to mind.
If no one gets this, there's one it here which is just outstanding, quite frankly. Real commitment to illegal activity and a very famous player.
Go on.
Ex-French captain.
Marc Session.
Session.
Oh, yes.
He was described as the quiet man in French rugby. This is so terrible. Shot his wife in front of 60 guests. So I don't know what she'd done.
Oh, God.
But that's quite something.
And he was convicted.
There's Tony Neary from Broughton Park,
who
stole a little bit of cash.
He played a British Lions test in 77. He was an England international.
There was Trevor Brennan. Trevor Brennan from Toulouse waded into the crowd and punched someone.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Cantona style. That was pretty impressive. I go Sessegnon and Jerry Collins.
Yeah, I like the Jerry Collins. Even though he didn't do... He got fined and released, but he was fined for carrying the knives rather than anything.
No, wait, can I just stick up for Andy Powell here? It may not be as vicious, but what I love about the Andy Powell, right, they just won a big match. He's driving the wrong way up the M4, over the limit, But then this, I love this sentence here. He told the court that he commandeered the vehicle to go and get some munchies. That's what he said in a court. I'm going to go get some munchies.
I'd like Powell in there. Powell, I think it's ridiculous.
Powell in, Session, and Jerry Collins. It's a pretty fearsome back row.
Yeah, it is.
Halfbacks then.
Oh, well, there's the obvious, isn't there? Quade Cooper. Giving it away. Mike Phillips.
Well, Mike Phillips and Danny Kerr.
Danny Kerr.
Danny
Kerr's had a few issues with drink driving.
But Danny Kerr seems to have learnt.
Yeah. Well, he got dropped from the England squad.
Yeah.
As Mike Phillips got suspended from the Welsh squad a few years ago.
Danny Kerr was serving a drink driving ban and then was caught urinating on the wall of a building after a night out.
Is that really a crime, though?
Just weeks after being taken into court for drunken disorderly behaviour. So it was like a hat trick. It was a hat trick for Danny Kerr.
That was about 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Commitment to the cause.
Mike Phillips has a load of pictures of him being arrested outside a McDonald's in Cardiff.
Is it arrested or has he been held down by bouncers?
I thought he was arrested. But anyway, there's a picture of him being held on the ground outside a McDonald's in the middle of the night.
Good.
Let's go Danny Kerr at 9.
Okay. Now, 10.
You've already said Quade Cooper.
Quade Cooper.
Tell us why Quade Cooper.
Well, he got done for robbery, did he not?
He did. Burglary.
Burglary. Do you know the story behind this? Or the rumour?
I think I know the story, but go for the rumour.
Apparently, he was trying to steal back compromising pictures of him and another man, is the rumour.
I did hear that rumour. Maybe from you, though, Jay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That is rumour. There you go.
That will not get you out of court for defamation.
That's just a rumour.
Oh, really?
I don't know the defamation laws, but I'll take my chances on that one. Which is quite interesting. And it's quite hard to find a halfback that's...
I thought you were going to say it's quite hard to find the fit pictures.
Yeah. You've searched.
I have actually searched for the pictures. They're not there. So you got to think, if they did exist, they'll be on the internet somewhere.
I would just be the voice of reason and say that the charges for that alleged burglary were dropped after a mediation process between Quade Cooper and the complainant. And so we'll move on then. Phil, have you got a different one?
Danny Cipriani was caught stealing a bottle of vodka from a nightclub in Melbourne.
Now, this is a weird one, isn't it? Because do you remember when he was caught in a club in London, like at 2 o'clock before England were to play? He said, I was handing over tickets to a friend and that I don't drink.
Yeah.
Well, he drinks Nethquik. But other than that...
We know that.
Cheers. Nethquik chocolate. Malibu and pineapple.
But other than that, why would he then go and steal a bottle of vodka? No, I've really struggled for centres.
Ollie Barkley?
I almost think it makes up for it when Ollie Barkley tackled the rugby fan dressed as Goldilocks.
Yeah, that was good.
Ooh, I've never seen that.
Was it at Sale? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I was there. I was the match announcer on the night.
Awesome. Goldilocks. There he goes.
Hey! I bet the crowd loved that.
I just want to say Ollie Barkley was charged, never convicted.
And actually, we could pair him up with his old Gloucester teammate, Mike Tindall.
Yeah, I've got Mike Tindall.
Through dwarfs.
drink driving conviction.
We could also team up with Shantane Harpe.
No, we couldn't. Yeah.
Well, we think we could.
Well, the police at one stage thought they could.
Yes, but they can't.
But do you know the story, Tim?
No.
Leslie Vinicolo was out in Gloucester, I think. Punched someone in the jaw, broke their jaw, got arrested. And told the police that his name was Shantane Happy.
Oh, yes.
And he did get convicted. Leslie Vinicolo did get convicted for that.
So Shantane Harpe can't make the team. Maybe like Leslie Vinicolo, except that he's rubbish. Basterill?
Oh, yeah. The New Zealand incident.
Oh, my word, yeah. I mean, no conviction. That was
No. He did have a brush with the law.
Yeah.
Because they
brush with the law only.
Because they investigated
his assault.
Yeah, he said he was coming home after a couple of drinks and he was assaulted by three men. Police looked for the CCTV footage, found nothing, and he later admitted that he was drunk in his own hotel room and fell over and banged his head on the coffee table. And that's why he got a cut and a bruise on his head.
That's why he got suspended.
Did Tuolangi get investigated or something after he jumped off the ferry?
Probably not. It'd be ridiculous.
That was just heroic.
Yeah.
I love that. I love
that's
that.
Good.
That's for the Hero 15 for another day.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
There's one more I was thinking of. Oh, of course. And there's dwarf tossing, but that's not illegal unless, you know.
It's a big deal. If it's the Dwarfs are willing participants.
Correct.
Another winger?
Wingers, I've got Digby Ioane.
Yeah, Digby.
Tell me about Digby Ioane. Ioane.
Ioane. What was Digby?
Digby!
So this was just before the second test of British and Irish Lions this year, or last year. A warrant went out for Digby Ioane's arrest in between the first and the second tests.
Wow, warrant.
because he failed to turn up to a magistrate's court for a trial from a previous assault.
Yeah, because he was in class as a fugitive.
Yeah.
Much cooler than it actually is.
Wow.
Yeah, he really did.
Fugitive.
But I think it all blew over in a couple of days.
Where do you start with Wendell Saylor? What a list of misdemeanours.
Go on, list them.
Oh, there's assault. There is cocaine use. There's a road rage accident where he smashed some truck windows. Probably the crowning glory is spitting in a woman's face. So, I mean, real top character. Kind of guy I'd like to build a team around.
Again, I don't know. I can't verify any of those. I'm trusting JB to... They definitely happened. He hasn't denied them. And
let's just trust JB on that.
We trust you, Jay. Fullback, James O'Connor.
Yeah.
Has he been arrested?
Not arrested. He had a brush with the law because it was during the Lions series, wasn't it? His Australian central contract was ripped up because of an incident at Perth Airport.
Well,
it was alleged the playmaker was refused entry onto a flight.
Curtly Beale's had similar stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah. There was that fight with Gareth Dale, wasn't there? Melbourne Rebels bus.
And also, Gareth Thomas has been in loads of fights. Bridgend, they got into a fight after playing Breve.
Really?
So, yeah. So Gareth Delve took all the Melbourne Rebels on a night out, even though the coach had told him not to. They got lost. They got beaten. And Curtly Bill took off his top and was like flexing. And Gareth Delve said, put it back on. He wouldn't. So they had a big old fist.
Gareth Delve? I think Gareth Delve's dad was like Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
Mr. Wales.
Bodybuilder, yeah.
I tell you what, in terms of when I was at Bath, same time when Ollie Barkley was coming through, Gareth Delve was coming through. You've never seen a more unbelievable specimen as a young guy coming through, a more dominant young player as Gareth Delve. He could have been, if he wasn't so injury prone,
I know.
He could have been the world's best number eight. He was unbelievable.
Wow. The Welsh management used to love him. Yeah. Absolutely love him.
Yeah. Zach Guildford, we've forgotten about.
We
mentioned him in our Rock and Roll 15.
Yeah, of course.
He admitted to being an alcoholic. Alcoholic. Stunt, and he once went to a bar. Did he gate crash a wedding?
Yeah.
And was naked, bleeding, wet, and
completely
assaulted two of the wedding party. Yeah.
I have a certain image of that event in my mind, and I never wanted to change.
I think we kind of got away with that unscathed. Unfortunately.
Oh, where would this team be based?
A ground.
You can have a ground. It's not a ground which I've got. It's a place where they'd all go. Rugby jail in North Dakota is a place.
Oh, really?
So there you go. Yeah, rugby.
Nice.
In fact, that sounds very apt for a rugby jail in the middle of nowhere. No rugby's played. So if you're bad, you go to rugby jail in North Dakota.
Out of that unscathed. However, if you don't hear an episode 26 of the Egg Chasers podcast, it's because JB's defamation has meant we've been shut down.
Yes.
Right, well, I'll tell you what, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, if you want to get in touch about that, maybe to begin legal proceedings against JB's defamation or anything else, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I'll tell you what, we should look ahead because it's the return of the Premiership finally this weekend coming. Glad to see the Premiership back, and there's some pretty interesting games. There's six rounds of matches to go before the normal season is over. Top four is where the main battle is, unless Worcester can get a victory at home to London Wasps. That's the first game on Friday night, 7:45 p.m. kickoff.
How do you rate their chances, Tim?
London Wasps have not been playing well, but they will have some of their international players like Joe Launchbury and whatnot back and available, which could make a big difference. Worcester have been so close to winning.
I think this is the one they're going to get, you know?
I think they might. I think they could pull this one off.
You know what? Just looking at the table, Worcester are on 5 points so far.
Yeah, they can stay up.
But Newcastle are only on 16 points.
They've got Newcastle to come.
Worcester win that, it's on.
I think Worcester have to win this game. They have to. Wasps at home, I tend to think they might, you know.
They've had 16 attempts so far and failed on every single account.
No, maybe I'm completely stupid.
They have... I'm going to sound like Dean Ryan here, but they have been getting better.
They are scoring points.
They've had some very narrow losses. They only lost by 1 point to Leicester, or 1 or 2 points to Leicester a few weeks ago.
It might be these narrow losses, you know, which keep in a minute. These bonus
where they
points
get bonus points, yeah.
They've not won in a calendar year in the Premiership.
On to Saturday then, and, well, this is a real test for Sale.
Mm-hmm. Who have they got?
They've got Northampton at home on Saturday.
Well, Northampton will be a shell of a team after a devastating LV Cup loss.
Mm. I mean, Northampton have looked pretty... Again, it'll be interesting to see what Jim Mallinder does with incorporating his internationals again. You think probably Dylan Hartley and Tom Wood and Luther Burrell have probably earned a week off.
And Courtney Laws. It might be good to rest those players for a week.
Yeah.
So that if he does, that would give Sale a good chance.
Yeah. Gloucester, Newcastle.
You back Gloucester.
You have to back Gloucester for that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sarries, Quins.
Should be a good game.
That'll be a good game. Again, the power of Sarries, I can't look past them at home, but they haven't been playing as well as they have done. They got hammered by Northampton, albeit in the LV Cup.
Yeah.
They recently beaten at home by London Irish. And they haven't played particularly well.
They'll also be aware that they can get top spot. They're only 2 points behind Northampton, so I think they'll just have enough at home to win that one.
And London Irish against London Irish West Saturday evening. Bath visit the Medeski Stadium.
Away makes it difficult, but it's got to be Bath, doesn't it?
The power of Bath. You logic would dictate they'll get a victory. And then this is a really tasty game. I'm very much looking forward to Sunday. Leicester Tigers hosting Exeter Chiefs.
Mm.
Exeter don't need to qualify for the Heineken Cup anymore in the top six.
I know. Awesome.
I wonder how the LV Cup victory might affect them mentally.
They're going to kick on, though. Good team.
Exeter.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Definitely going to kick on. And that's the big win that they needed. They've been losing top teams almost every time that they meet them. So now that I think that's critical.
Surely they can't turn Leicester over at Welford Road.
I think Leicester Tigers, with a centre partnership of Anthony Allen and Manu Tuilagi,
yeah,
with Gonover outside,
I
just think that's a three-quarter line.
So yeah, I would back Leicester.
As would I.
At home.
As would I. And then it's back-to-back Premiership weekends. We've got a couple more matches next week. So, enjoy watching the rugby this week. Keep talking to us about the rugby this week at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. And we'll be back for the next podcast, hopefully, unless JB's had us...
killed by one of our
killed
team.
By, yeah. right, we'll see you on the next podcast. I'll edit that nicely.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.